This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi, I'm Mishkin Bertigue. I'm the co-founder, CEO, and chief scientist at maxgood.work. I'm also a longtime Agile coach, trainer, and consultant, and I really care about making the world of work a better place, both in terms of creating awesome business results and in terms of making work environments better for people. It's why I got involved in this stuff in the first place.
This is a continuing episode of a series about Max Good. I want to go a little deeper on the what people on the podcast might be experiencing in their world. And I mean deeper, like a little bit more context. So for example,
sure.
You did talk about an example that was where it was very specific, where, you know, you may be a scrum master and you want to come up with a new retrospective idea, or maybe you want to run your first retrospective. So you explain to ChatGPT, you know, or I'm sorry, Max Good, whatever tool you're using, you explain to it with the situation, and then it gives you advice. Do you have any other examples that you think the random podcast listener? I want them to think of cases to use. This is like the explaining to people how to use a remote control. They've never had one before and they just don't get it. Like my dad goes, oh, what do I need a remote control for? I walk over there and turn on the TV, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
One of the things that's really fun is to use these systems, and Max Good is a bit better than ChatGPT, but ChatGPT can do this as well, to help you actually generate a product backlog or refine a product backlog, right? So you type in, here's my product vision statement, or here's my project charter, who are my likely users to be, or you can add your users to the list, and then it can write user stories for you. And you really need to be careful, but like when I talk about the Jira integration, for example, it can already know what's there, right? And say, well, okay, given your existing product backlog, what am I missing, right? What have I not thought of? And by the way, this is something that I teach people about that's so crucial in this new age of AI. Like, again, I really hope that your audience understands the depth of the transformation that's happening in the work world. And I want to share something that I share with all my students, regardless of whether they're using my AI platform or not. Like, and that is that probably the most crucial thing that you can do as an individual in order to maintain value as a scrum master, as a product owner, as an agile coach, as an agile project manager, whatever, anything, the most important thing you can do is to spend time consciously thinking, what am I missing? What don't I see? What don't I notice? What could derail me or my team? How do I think about anticipating problems or gaps there, which can also be opportunities then, right? And the reason is because these AI systems still don't do that. Okay, they're statistical. They're based on what's happened in the past. And although you can kind of kludge them into being creative in some weird ways, they're not strategic gap-finding thinkers. Okay? And at least in a business context, this is incredibly valuable. So what you can do then is essentially, like a lot of agile coaches know about this, not necessarily scrum masters as much, but the concept of powerful questions. You know, there's a book that I live by. It's fantastic. It's called The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. And this book is filled with powerful business questions that are all oriented around this concept of what am I missing? What don't I see? What don't I notice? Where are the gaps? Where are the problems or opportunities? And if you can make a habit of taking 45 minutes a week, twice a week, to just think. See, you know, when we use these AI systems, we anthropomorphize and we think they're thinking, but they're not. They're not going out after a conversation with you and thinking about, gosh, I wonder if I could have answered that better. Or, you know, I wonder if I can serve that person in some incredible new way in the future. Or I wonder what's going to happen next. Right. And they're just statistical analytical machines that are taking in what's already happened and using that. And so this is an incredible human power that these tools don't have. Dot, 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 yet. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe OpenAI is going to reveal something next week. Who knows, yeah. Right? So for your audience, getting into that habit of thinking and more broadly, personal growth and a attitude of service and contribution, that's where you got to be. 100%. You have to stop thinking about what's in it for me. You have to think, what does my team need? What does my organization need? What do my customers need? And how do I serve them? What are the gaps in what I'm doing right now in that service? And how do I improve myself to serve them better? That's just like, that's human reality. It's just that it's never really touched knowledge workers to the same degree as before. Knowledge workers always were kind of special, right? We're smart and, you know, we know stuff that lots of other people don't know. And,
right.
You know, and that's changed. So I don't know if that's really the kind of answer you were looking for, but to me that connects back to, you know, something that's really important. And one of my values is like this spiritual idea that like our destiny as humans is always about growth and service. I think to me, those are spiritual things. How do we grow as human beings? How do we serve the people around us more and more and more and the world at large? And so, you know, part of the reason I called this Max Good is because I feel like this is my way of serving humanity in the work world. Right. I want to do the absolute maximum good that I can. And this, because I have this technical background and I've been using these tools for so long, I was like, man, I got to do something because there's going to be people who need support, who need help with alignment, who need help with development. And this is kind of one answer to that anyway.
Yeah. Cool. Nice. All well said. I want to add a little more. One of the cool things that we've discovered, we being in a book group, a technical book group, if the LLM has knowledge about the book, you can use it to quiz you back about things you just read in the chapter. You could say, hey, give me a quiz for, you know, what happened in chapter 5, and it'll come up with some of that. And then I take it out to book group and then we try to answer the quizzes. Another one is summarize sections that maybe you had difficulty with. And unfortunately though, it depends if the large language model, if it knows your book. If it doesn't know your book, it won't be helpful in that way. And Michigan, you've brought up that you've licensed materials from like Solissa Adkins, it sounds like. Is that true?
Yeah.
And so that probably has coaching agile teams somewhere in that model. And there's probably several other interesting, really good resources. So I think Max Good probably has some really good content in there that is waiting to be helpful to people out there.
Yeah, and I want to add something about that too, because, you know, if you don't understand technically how LLMs work, it can be a little confusing sometimes what's going on, right? So an LLM might be trained on the whole contents of a book. Mm. Let's just take Coaching Agile Teams as an example, right? Maybe the publisher has an electronic version that got licensed by OpenAI, and it was part of the training data that trained the LLM. Now, that kind of learning is the way these things work. It's triggered by, you can kind of think of it almost like keywords, but it's a little deeper than that, right? So if you ask a question that's got the right concepts in it. It's more about concepts than keywords. But if you ask a question that's got the right concepts in it, and you phrase the question the right way, and the LLM is configured properly, then it will give you back factual data from what it was trained on. Okay. But those conditions are really important. And so sometimes it will make stuff up about even something that it's trained on, right? So you could ask it a question about coaching agile teams and it'll just make stuff up. And so it's because of the statistical model. Like if there was, you know, a huge Reddit thread about coaching agile teams that was like way more words than the actual book itself, and it was all total crap about the book, then that actually might be also a source. Right? So this is why this concept of retrieval augmented generation is so important. It's to go, okay, we've got some curated content that is actually going to take precedence over the baseline statistical model that exists in an LLM. Now, of course, I know that like these companies, OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, all of them are really, really focused on, you know, training their AIs to do well with those responses. But there's still these hallucinations, right? These hallucinations happen. And it's one of those challenges we were talking about earlier. So then in our system, a book becomes a source of content for the responses that people get from Max Good or from a particular avatar, right? Like from the Mishkin Bertigue avatar, for example, I've uploaded my Real Agility program. I've uploaded my Agile Coaching Patterns book. I've uploaded my blah, 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 right? And so there's still a condition, right? Like if someone is having a conversation with my avatar that's about a topic that's appropriate considering the knowledge that I've uploaded, then it will use that.
Yeah.
Right? But if it's about a different topic, it might not find any of that knowledge. And it might hallucinate, which is why we have kind of layers. So you can think of it like when a person interacts with an avatar in Max Good, there's a layer that's all the personalization and contextual information that's kind of immediately relevant. Then the next layer is the expertise that's built in by the owner of the avatar, my books or Lisa's or whatever, right? So there's that next layer. And then there's the foundational licensed content, which is the next layer. And that's where Lisa is actually, and David Anderson and some other people, Mary Poppendieck, et cetera. So that's the foundational layer. And then of course, below that is the LLM itself and its training data. So that still can come into play, right? Like if all those other layers fail to be relevant, then it will ultimately end up defaulting to the LLM. But even there, we have a control system that helps to supervise that and make sure it doesn't go too wonky on you.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I highly recommend Max Good. I highly recommend using something like it regardless, because, you know, folks, you just got to, it's like, this is the 1990s moment when we all started using web searches. Now it's using some kind of AI technology. So go dive in. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Is there anything else we should have spoke about but we haven't?
Oh, I can talk about so many different things. I'm a talker. Anyway, no, we've covered all the really important stuff. You know, because we're in a startup mode, if people want to try things out and, you know, see how it works, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very active there. That's probably the best way to reach out to me personally, because I have an assistant, and it's not an AI, but I have an assistant who actually monitors my LinkedIn messages and makes sure that things get set up on my calendar and stuff like that.
I've never heard the assistant speak that. I've only seen him through LinkedIn. So I don't know if I can validate that.
Yeah, Jen is incredible. Anyway, so LinkedIn is the best way to reach out to me, and I'm happy to give people trials or demos or, you know, whatever. Like, just, you know, it's, and I'm going to say this is maybe a limited time offer. I have no idea what the future holds. Like I always say, I can't predict the future, but, you know, if you're listening to this and it's relatively recent to publication date, probably what I'll do is I'll even set you up with a free account for some period of time just to try things out and see if it works for you. You know, that's like, I'm really, truly in this to help people. And if it's not going to work for you, then, you know, you shouldn't be paying for it. So let's see what that works like and see if we can, you know, make the world of work a better place. Hi, I'm Mishkan Bertigue. I'm the co-founder, CEO, and chief scientist at maxgood.work. I'm also a longtime agile coach, trainer, and consultant. And I really care about making the world of work a better place, both in terms of creating awesome business results and in terms of making work environments better for people. It's why I got involved in this stuff in the first place. My background is technical, and I love techie stuff too. So I would really love to help you expand your abilities as a scrum master or an agile coach or a manager. And please reach out to me on LinkedIn if you're interested in exploring how MaxGood can help you and your teams.
Check out the show notes because we have good things in there for you, the listener, to find so conveniently. Like, for example, the link to maxgood.work or other things that come up on the podcast, we put it in there as a link. And so it's super easy. And show notes, what are they? They show up in your podcast player for easy tapping. They are right there in your phone or in your computer, whatever device you're using that has the podcast player. If you downloaded this show as an MP3, go back to the website where you got it from, and there you will see the show notes. This series started at episode 272, so if you're like my friend Hal and you missed the first episode, go to agilethoughts.info, and there you will find a search engine in which you can type in 272, and it will find it for you.